The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. And when I say The Big Show, I mean we are supersized today because The Dory Monson Show is only 2 hours, but then right at 2 o'clock, I will be joined by Michael Bumpus, Paul Moyer, Jordan Babineau, and Ray Roberts, and we will count you down to kickoff between the Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers. Monday Night Football, just an absolutely huge game for the Seahawks before their bye week, but a chance to knock off the only undefeated team in the NFL. So kickoff about 5:30, but you will hear all the pregame coverage starting at 2 here on your home of the Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM, and then I'll be with you at halftime and again after the game to wrap everything up. So we're just starting about 12 hours of broadcasting here, and before I get to the big lead, I did want to take a moment to remember our heroes today, the most selfless people among us, and that is our military. Active duty, veterans, you are the heroes, man. And on this Veterans Day, I want to just take a minute to remember you. I know to speak on behalf of everybody who listens to this show when I say thank you and God bless you, all of our veterans. It was sad when I was driving in today how few flags are flying. You know, most cities aren't like this, but just know that even though as a region we don't tend to show it as often as we should. I mean, I know you do, all around JBLM. I'm sure the flags are flying up in Oak Harbor today, a Naval Station Whidbey, so Naval Air Base. So I know that there are a lot of areas where it runs much, much deeper than here in the city. But thank you to our veterans on Veterans Day. Did not want to let that go by without saying thank you to the most noble among us. I'll tell you something else that I discovered Saturday night, Nicole, because you're kind of a rural girl from up there in Whatcom County.
Correct.
Saturday night, a bunch of us, NASA and Paul and Dave and I, we went out to Monroe to watch Michael Bumpus coaches Monroe Bearcats in the playoffs. Man, I tell you what, those are our people for this show.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
My little cousin plays for Monroe. He's in middle school still. But,
okay.
I mean, it's a fun bunch.
Yeah.
Parents and kids.
Yes.
And they have a great community.
They just, and they love our show. I mean, when I'm in Seattle, it's pretty much 50-50 if it's going to be screw you or a hey, I like your show. Up in Monroe, it was just the nicest
people. I never hear screw yous.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
Well, I mean, towards you, directed towards you when I'm with you. I never hear screw yous. Those people keep quiet.
But anyway, just real nice salt of the earth people out there in Monroe, so thank you to them for being so hospitable. I bet there are a lot of flags flying in Monroe today, too, on Veterans Day. But we got to get back to that. Got to get back to flying the flags, crying out loud. I know it's not a popular liberal thing to do, to fly flags. My father-in-law, who we lost about 2 years ago, he built this flagpole in his backyard, put the uplighting on it, and he was so dedicated to flying his flag. And so once my wife and I were at an auction early in our marriage, it's probably before Clinton even. Might have been George H.W. was the press. But we're at an auction, and there was a flag that had flown over the White House that was available. And we got in a bidding war with this guy? It was in the silent auction, and we're trying to sign right before, and he's knocking our hand away, and his sign is there. We got it, and my father-in-law, her dad, loved it. Just loved it. He served in the military, and just want to say thank you to everybody who serves. I'm in awe of you. Okay, we'll probably bookend the show with this song, Sammy Hagar's Remember the Heroes. Probably play that at the end, too. Okay, with all of that as mere prelude, let's get to today's top story.
The Big Lead, top story.
And we will start. Seahawks coming up tonight, as I just told you. They go into the game with a 7-2 record. The 49ers are 8-0. This is the reason the Seahawks are 7-2.
Russ takes the shotgun snap. Looks, throws inside. Ball is caught. Into the end zone. Seahawks win. Touchdown. Seahawks.
So if the Seahawks win this, New Orleans lost yesterday. The Seahawks could think about getting the best record in the NFC if they could win tonight. And every time they've gotten best record, they've ended up in the Super Bowl. So that's how important tonight's game is. So make sure you don't miss it. And I would be remiss if I didn't say congratulations to now two times in 4 years, the Sounders have brought home a title.
Here comes Rui Diaz through the middle to crown it for Seattle.
70,000 people nearly at CenturyLink as the Sounders won the MLS title 3-1 yesterday afternoon. And Brian Schmetzer, their fantastic coach, was very emotional after the win.
Most importantly, the players and the fans deserve this. The players persevered because, again, it was the first half that, you know, we needed to make some adjustments, and they never quit, and the fans never stopped believing. So I'm very, very happy and proud of the city and the fans.
What a good man he is. I mean, this is a local kid. Brian Schmetzer, Nathan Hale High School, never left. His family ran soccer shops. It was their whole life. And now he's the king of the hill and the coach of the MLS champs two times in 4 years now, in the finals three times. So congratulations to the Sounders. I do have to correct something that I said on Thursday, I think it was, because when they said it was going to have 70,000 people at the game, because I knew what the Kingdome capacity was, and I said, so this will probably be the most attended sporting event in Seattle history. And I had a bunch of people who texted and emailed me and reminded me that when Husky Stadium's capacity was 72,000, they sold that out a lot. So, yeah, Huskies still hold the capacity record or the attendance record. So I just wanted to correct that. I don't like fake news out there, you know. And then some people claim that Seafair would always get a 500,000 people. And there was never an accurate count, and I know those numbers were always exaggerated, but to what extent? And nobody went for the sporting event of hydroplane racing. They went to drink and sit in the sun. But anyway, congratulations to the Sounders. Great, great thing for them this weekend. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, big local.
I also have to give my sincere congratulations to Seattle City Councilwoman Kashama Sawant, who staged a dramatic comeback of her own, down 8 points on Tuesday's election night, And then when the final vote tallies started coming in on Friday, or the latest vote tallies, she stormed from behind to win. And a lot of people have, and when I say congratulations, look, she has produced some of the stupidest sound bites in local political history. And so I've, in a way, I've enjoyed her. Now, that's selfish, and that's about the radio show. As somebody who grew up in and continues to love Seattle, my heart breaks for the city because this last election has produced the most radically socialist city council in the country. It's moved way further left than where it was. And what that's going to mean is more criminals on the street, more drugs on the street, more property crimes than any major region in the country. It's going to mean driving businesses like Amazon out of town. They will hasten when the economic bubble eventually bursts. The socialists who are in charge of our city council. And look, Jenny Durkin doesn't do a thing. She is as useless as a mayor gets. And plus, the council, they're going to have veto-proof voting block now for the socialists. So they're going to be able to run stuff through. And if it drives Amazon out of town, then you're going to see a commercial real estate collapse. You will see businesses start to dry up. All the businesses, you know, that feed and clean and provide blue-collar jobs in support of Amazon, they will go away as well. But it means I'm going to get a few more years of some of the stupidest sound bites ever, which from a radio talk show host perspective, I guess it's small consolation for all the damage they're doing to the city. So she gave her speech over the weekend, and one of the things she talked about is something that is proven to be disastrous around the country, and that is rent control.
Rent control, rent control, make Seattle affordable. Rent control, rent control, make Seattle affordable. Rent control, rent control, make Seattle affordable.
Okay, now I'll tell you another way you could make Seattle affordable. Instead of attending and mindlessly chanting at a SWAT rally, maybe you go to your second job, your weekend job. There are lots of them out there. There are plenty of them out there. And you could, without socialism, without using government to take somebody else's money to give it to you, you could actually go and earn that money yourself. But as I've explained many, many times, socialism appeals to losers. And really, not too many others. Because instead of taking control of your life, you believe in this fantasy that government taking other people's stuff and giving it to you is somehow a winning life strategy. Because you're too lazy, you're too slothful to go and accomplish on your own. Now, I'm not talking about the people who can't work. I'm not talking about the physically, mentally handicapped, the mentally ill. We always need to provide a safety net for those people. But for the people who are simply too lazy, which is the vast majority of Sewant and now the rest of the city council's base. And that's fine. So, Sewant is very upset that the media was against her.
The election results are a repudiation of the billionaire class, of corporate real estate and of the establishment, and a repudiation of corporate media like the Seattle Times editorial board, which used a lot of ink to spread lies, distortion, and misinformation.
It's funny, they used a lot of lies and ink to spread lies and distortions about 976, and that one in spite of it too. But I don't hear you complaining about that. So now Bezos is in the crosshairs, and they are. She was standing in front of a big red sign that said "Tax Amazon."
Yes, it was close. With the unprecedented amounts of corporate cash dumped against us, with everything but the kitchen sink thrown at us, and in the end, Jeff Bezos did throw in the kitchen sink, perhaps not to his benefit.
What was the funny line there that got tittering laughter? So here's why it was so close.
What made this election close was the assault by the corporate elite, corporate media, unprecedented PAC money, political establishment, all of that. What also made it close was a section of people who have been misled by right-wing ideas, who are correctly angry about homelessness and the massive crisis in our city, but are blaming the wrong people for it.
Actually, I'm one of the few who has the guts to blame exactly who deserves the blame, Councilwoman. And that is a prosecutor who has legalized drugs and refuses to prosecute property crimes. A city council that believes, and this is the greatest shame of all of these people. Sawant and this council is going to refuse to allow homeless encampment sweeps because they believe in their twisted minds that they deserve to just live that life. And make no mistake, here's what life is like in those homeless encampments for the vast majority of those people. They commit a crime at night, whether it's a car prowl or a home break-in, or an armed robbery. They commit a crime at night to get whatever they can. Then they spend time selling it for whatever they can get so that they can inject heroin. There are little girls, 15-year-old runaways, who are lost souls to begin with, and that's why they're running away from home. And they maybe have already experimented with drugs. And now they end up in these encampments. And you have these monsters, these hideous monsters, who turn them into prostitutes. Again, because the monster needs to feed his heroin habit. And so we have little girls being systemically raped in the homeless encampments. And this is going to spread dramatically now. In Seattle, and since Seattle has such long coattails, no doubt throughout the region. And for any human being to say that that should be tolerated, that little girls being raped and people committing crimes and shooting up heroin and living a soulless existence until their early death, how can you advocate for that? But they do, because those people are victims. And I heard lots of reports that Sawant supporters were doing the same day voter registration at those homeless camps and saying, okay, vote for her, vote for her, vote for him. And that's why the late votes came in the way they did. All they are, these lost souls, these turned out children. They're just a constituency for people like Sawant. You know what? Forget it. I don't care what kind of soundbite she provides the next 4 years. This is distressingly sorrowful for the region. Okay, I got a lot of other big lead stories. Because like I said, we only have 2-hour show today before we transition into Seahawks football coverage. Let me take a quick time out. I have a couple other Sawant soundbites I'm going to play for you. And we have more to do as we get rolling here on this Veterans Day. The Dory Monson Show. Checking out all your text messages. You can text me always at 98973. That's 98973. I got a bunch of snowflakes listening today. said that I was using Veterans Day to take a shot at liberals by not flying the flag. That wasn't a shot. I mean, unless you take it that way. It's a statement of fact that in Seattle, I mean, there are a lot of people, it's become very popular on the left to view the flag as a symbol of hatred. That's become very popular on college campuses. And so don't be offended by statements of fact. That's just an observation that, and you tell me, on a per capita basis, are as many flags flying in Seattle as they are in more rural parts of Western Washington today? Of course not. It's a statement of fact. But it's been taught. It's been taught in our public schools and in our universities that the flag is a symbol of hatred and oppression. I'll give you a perfect example. Yesterday in Portland, there was a woman who was just on an overpass waving a flag for Veterans Day. And a Trump-hating woman came up and started harassing the flag-waving patriots. One of the flag-waving patriots is a woman named Tara LaRosa. Tara is an MMA fighter, and she's trained in Taekwondo. And so she took down the woman who, for no reason, other than she saw them waving the flag and says it was a symbol of hatred, and started harassing the flag wavers. And so one of the flag wavers said, you know what? Enough is enough with you, girl.
I'm not moving. Just get off me. No, you are moving. Stop.
You assaulted
someone. I did assault.
Yeah, you did. No, she assaulted.
You are not. Stop moving. Please.
That's the MMA fighter on top of her, telling her to stop moving. She's just got her on the ground, and this, you know, Looney Tunes woman, she's claiming she can't breathe, even though nobody's holding anything around her throat. She's actually pinned at the chest, and she is breathing fine because she's talking.
I can't breathe.
I don't care.
Just get off.
Let you couldn't go. Breathe.
Let her go. Off let her go. My neck. Right. Yeah, just let her go.
Just let her off.
Don't attack anybody. If, she get, if you get up, don't attack
can
anybody.
Can I just breathe? You're breathing.
Get
stop.
You're breathing good.
Just relax. Get off. Relax. Breathe. Get off.
Relax.
Just relax.
Breathe.
Get off me.
No.
I'm like half naked.
No, no you're not.
Get off.
Can't stop.
She was fully clothed, and none of her clothes were coming off at all.
I was just got done having brunch.
Why are
my
you
friends.
Antagonizing?
There's
us.
People on the corner.
Okay.
You're antagonizing the city
Stop.
I live in.
Okay, that's see waving the flag. You're antagonizing the city I live in. She considers waving the flag to be antagonizing the city, and that's what I'm talking about. So don't get all offended. Don't go retreat into your little safe space and send me your little message because I said there aren't as many flags flying in Seattle. That is very clearly a statement of fact on a per capita basis because that's what's being taught in our public schools and our universities. Okay? Just simple statement of fact. Don't get your feelings hurt so much when you hear factual things about whatever your political persuasion happens to be. Okay, also, people are upset that I said the only people who support Sawant are losers. Again, I'm going to stand by that one. I will absolutely stand by that. If you believe that it is a better pathway to any kind of personal success to have government take stuff from other people and give it to you, that is the epitome of a loser way to go through life. You're never going to succeed at any great level because government doesn't want you to. Government doesn't care about you. They care about you barely getting by. And you relying on their socialism, their largesse, so that you can get stuff, so you can get your $15 an hour and not much else. And then you go and march in the rallies. I'm sorry if you're offended, But again, I'll stand by that one with truth as my defense. The only people who support socialism, which now has taken over, more so than ever before, the Seattle City Council with this vote count, we do have a lot of losers around here. And never used to be that way. This used to be a city, a region. You know, I talk about this in my live show. We were a region of fishermen and lumberjacks and self-sufficiency. I don't need anybody else to get by. I'll take care of myself. I'll take care of my family. If I got to work two jobs, I'll work two jobs. If I got to work three jobs, I'll work three jobs. If I have to risk my life up in the Bering Sea, I will do that so I can take care of my family. And, you know, a lot of guys who work the fishing boats, you don't need a higher education. You need a lot of guts and need to be willing to work incredible, dangerous conditions. But that's used to be the, and we still have those people. Those fishermen and lumberjacks. We've got a lot of truck drivers who are listening right now who drive 60 hours a week and are just working their butts off so they can take care of their family. That used to be the backbone of our region. Now it's losers. And it's sad to me in a way. But like I always say, what that means is more than ever, if you do have some fire in your belly and you do believe in just outworking your competition, the competition has never been softer. It's never been easier to succeed because you're just not going up against the most motivated bunch of people. Now, I know a lot of people who just got out of college who have that fire in their belly, and they are going to go and do some great things. But that's not the mentality. In our public schools, we're just teaching kids more than ever about, you know, how to sob about climate change and how you're a victim, how you're going to be mowed down tomorrow at school if you don't go tell your parents to vote for unconstitutional gun control measures. I mean, that's what's happening in our schools. And what it's created, I read a great piece, I think it was in National Review over the weekend, the woke and broke culture. We got a bunch of kids coming out of the public schools and our universities who are woke and they have no fundamental skills to make a decent living. Woke and broke is what government schools and universities are cultivating right now. So it's going to be an interesting time around here. I feel bad for all the people who are going to be carried downwards when the economic bubble bursts around here and Amazon heads out. Okay, I got a lot of other stuff to share with you on this Veterans Day. Don't go anywhere. The Dory Monson Show rolls on. This reminder will shift just over an hour from now, about 70 minutes from now. We'll shift into Seahawks pregame coverage for this big Monday night game against the 49ers. So I'll be joined by Paul Moyer, Michael Bumpus, Ray Roberts, and Jordan Babineau. And we will take you right up till game time for that Seahawk game this evening. You'll hear it right here in the home of the Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. Earlier today, we were talking about the president briefly. The president spoke in New York City, and he wanted to honor our veterans.
Today, we come together as one nation to salute the veterans of the United States Armed Forces, the greatest warriors to ever walk the face of the earth. Our veterans risked everything for us. Now it is our duty to serve and protect them every single day of our lives.
And here was more of his message to our veterans.
To each veteran of the war, the glory of your deeds will only grow greater with time. This city is graced by your presence. This nation is forever in your debt, and we thank you all. We're also pleased to be joined by veterans of the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Gulf War, and the War on Terror. You are the reason our hearts swell with pride, our foes tremble with fear, and our nation thrives in freedom.
And this would be a good time. Last Monday, I played a couple of sound cuts from the day before because at the Seahawks salute to military weekend, last weekend, because it was a home game, I got to meet a Army Special Forces guy named Ryan Hendrickson. This guy is working in, first of all, going through like the Navy SEALs, the Army Special Forces, the Green Berets. These are the toughest human beings imaginable. And Ryan was on a mission in Afghanistan, and he told us about stepping on an IED, had his leg right before the knee blown off. It's unbelievable.
I was pretty in shock, you know, a little bit of shock going on, a little bit of disbelief. But guys start putting my tourniquets on and stuff like that. And then we have, we get radio traffic that the Taliban are moving into, spring an ambush on us. They had an ambush set up for us down the river. They didn't know that yours truly was going to step on the IED in this compound. So they were trying to move the ambush down to, intercept us. So what ended up happening was our medic on the team, he took a branch and just ace wrapped
made
my
splint.
The lower leg and my upper leg together, just ace wrapped it, and then a couple different guys just took turns carrying me out to where the helicopters would land, because they wouldn't land where we were at because the Taliban were coming up.
As amazing as that part of the story is, they airlifted him out to a military hospital in Houston, where this incredible surgeon, in what was basically an experimental surgery, but he reattached Ryan's leg below the knee, reattached it. So what does this man do? Army Special Forces Ryan Hendrickson, what does he do? He re-enlists. He redeploys to Afghanistan after having his leg blown off. And this brought tears to my eyes when he told me why.
You re-enlisted after your leg was reattached.
Yeah.
You redeployed back to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Why?
So there's chapters of everybody's book of life that you can't leave open. You have to finish the chapters out. And one thing that I grew up with, basically learned from my dad, is you can't live your life with "I wish I would have" or the "what ifs." And I knew for sure, first of all, the Taliban's not going to beat me. I'm not going to let the Taliban beat me. So I had to come back. Now, why back into combat? Why back finding, I was back 14 months later finding IEDs. Why? Because I had to prove to myself that I wasn't beat. I wasn't defeated. This injury is not me. You know what I'm saying? It happened. Life is hard, but I've moved on from it. And I continue to move on from it. And instead of using my injury to be a victim, I use my injury to make me a stronger human being. So,
Yeah, that's as strong as a human being gets right there. Army Special Forces, Ryan Hendrickson, who I had the great honor of meeting 8 days ago. So I want to play you a couple more clips of him on this Veterans Day. Okay, we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour, and then the Fastest 15 is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.